Nous sommes definitely on Daf Ches. We were speaking about Rachuv. So someone is someone's riding a horse, an animal. Is that a kinyan? He jumps on the saddle of the animal. Is that a kinyan? Let's see where we're up to. So we'll look at the last line on Daf Chesamid Aleph. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Li Rav Yehuda, turning to Chesamid Beis. Shamis Minei Demar Shmuel Tarti. So I heard two things from Shmuel with regard to the din of Rachuv. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shamati mimenu shnei dvarim, din Rachuv v'din manhu. V'chad omer li kani, v'chad omer li lo kani. V'lo yadana.
Which one?
Hai minayim. Mm-hmm. Now, we can break up this suffix of Rav Yosef into two parts. One part is... Thanks. One part is he wants to know whether or not Rachuv is a kinyan. Can I be konis something by just jumping on the animal and sitting on its saddle? The other possibility is that we're talking about a case where there are two people, both want to be zocher, want to acquire ownership over an animal that's hefker, and simultaneously one is a rochev, or rochuv, as the Gemara calls it, and the other is a manik. So you can imagine, there's Reuben and Shimon, and they're jumping on this horse simultaneously. Each one wants to make a kinyan on it. Reuven jumps on top of the saddle, and Shimon takes a stick and he hits the animal in the back, or he leads the animal by schlepping it with a rope, a rein. So we have a coincidence, an overlap of both Rachuv and Manhig. So the Gemara now analyzes the suffix of Rav Yosef. Hechi Domi, what was Rav Yosef vacillating about? Ilema Rachuv Lechudei Umanig Lechudei. Now we have to keep in mind one thing. The Gemara never questions the following premise. Manig is called Mesira. In other words, if I give you over an animal in such a way that you can now lead the animal, then since you can be Moshek the animal in any direction you want, that for sure is a kinyan. So that if we go with the first possibility now, that Rachuv Lechudei Umanig Lechudei is then, as the Gemara is going to point out right now, there's no suffix that if Shmuel validated one kinyan and he disqualified one kinyan, that it would certainly be the manhig that he would validate, and therefore by process of elimination it would be Rachuv that he disqualifies. So let's go through the Rashi. Rashi says, "E nema Rachuv lechudei she'en acher manig imo." So that there's an animal of hefker, and Reuven jumps on top of the animal. No one is around besides Reuven, meaning that Reuven is the only one who has a habamina here of making a kinyan on this animal. And Ba acher min ashuk, somebody comes from the shuk, v'chotvo mimenu, and he grabs it in front of him, b'faneinu, in front of us, u'moshcho l'knosa, and he wants to lead the animal and now make a kinyan mashiach on the animal. So in such a case, we have a rachuv l'chudei. Rachuv l'chudei means that it wasn't that two people simultaneously made a kinyan, this one made a maisa kinyan of Rachuv, and this one of Manig, but rather Manig came later. It was Rachuv who came first, and at the moment that Reuven jumped on the saddle of the animal, there was no competition. V'chein, or if you talk about Manig L'chudei, there was an animal of Hefker, and Shimon, we'll call him Shimon, was manning the animal. He starts leading the animal. He hits him in the back, or he grabs the reins and pulls the animal. V'ein rachav umo, there's no one else at this moment in time who's riding the saddle on the saddle of the animal. And now bachar min hashuk v'chot from him, and somebody comes along and wants to grab it from him. And on this, Rav Yosef vacillates back and forth, which one is Kona? Is the Rachuv Kona or is the Manig Kona? Again, in two different cases. Case number one, Reuven was Rachuv, no one else is around, and then somebody comes along and wants to grab it away from him. Case number two is Shimon is Manig, he leads the animal, but there's no one else around, now somebody comes and wants to take it away from Shimon. Is in this case, says the Gemara, mi ika mandi yoma de lo kani. Who would ever entertain the possibility that there's no kinyan? Meaning, if Shmuel said to Rav Yosef, and that's what Rav Yosef heard from Shmuel, that one is kona and one is not, and there's a choice between the Rachuv case, which is l'chudei, and the Manig case, which is l'chudei, is with regard to Manig, mi ikam lemeimar delo koni? Is there anyone who would say that Manig is not kona? Manig is a classic mashicha. An animal, by virtue of the Mishnah in Masech Kiddushin, is nicknames b'mashicha. Mashicha means you cause the animal to move. And that's exactly what the Manig does. By leading the animal or hitting the animal, he causes the animal to move. The Gemara says the following: if there's some sort of a possibility and a suffix that is this kinyan valid, and that would only apply to Rachuv, but not to Manig. Manig is Mashicha. Rachuv, you could say, since he's not causing the animal to move, he's just holding on to the animal by sitting on its saddle, that's not a valid kinyan. And therefore, if what Rav Yosef heard from Shmuel was that if it's L'chudei, and there was only one kinyan, whether it be the Manig kinyan or the Mashicha, Rachuv kinyan, and one of them was Kona and the other was not, then there's no room for Rav Yosef to vacillate about the fourth. He should be absolutely clear and without a doubt that it's the Rachuv that's questionable, because he doesn't cause the animal to move. And Rashi, if you take a look at the end of Dibra Maskel Manig L'chudei, which is about 15 lines down from the top of the page, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin that Mashicha means Shete'oker Yad V'Regel. That means both the hind legs and the forelegs of the animal move, so the entire animal has changed its location. That's called Mashicha. And that clearly is a kinyan that is valid in Behema. Behema nicknames by Mashicha. Manhig, where he causes the animal to change its location, it moves forward, is also a form of Mashicha. So you can't tell me that Rav Yosef vacillated back and forth on Manig L'chudei and on Rachuv L'chudei, because then you're opening the possibility that Manig L'chudei would not be a valid kinyan when the Mishnah says that Behema Niknes B'Mashicha and Manig is a form of Mashicha. Ella says, well, we have to reinterpret the Sofek of Rav Yosef. Rachuv b'mako manig iboile. There were two people who simultaneously tried to be kone an animal that was hefker. One jumped on the saddle, while the other starts leading the animal. He hits the animal from the back, or he pulls the animal from the front. And that's what Rashi says, shneim boim lefaneinu. They're both in front of us. Ze rachuv ze manig. Ze Omer Kula Shaliv is Omer Kula Shaliv. Each one says, I made a kinyan. Omer Shmuel, and this Shmuel made a statement, Chad Kani. Only one of them achieved the kinyan. And here's where Rav Yosef, in the name of Yehuda, has a suffix. Umi Boilele Rav Yehuda, Hecha de Isnu L'Travayu, both of them are in front of us. One is making a rochuv situation, the other is making a manik situation. High adif. Which one has a superior kinyan? So we're no longer dealing with hilchas kinyanim. We've now elevated rochuv to the status of a kinyan. Alzeh ein safek. The safek is only going to be when you have two kinyanim. Reuven makes one kinyan on a hefker animal. Shimon makes a different kinyan. Which kinyan is superior? And the Gemara now is postulating that you could have such a thing as a superior kinyan. You know, we would have said either a kinyan is a kinyan and it's valid, or it's not a kinyan and it's not valid. Now we're saying that we have gradations of kinyanim, and we give grades. We're going to say that one kinyan is greater than the other. So let's keep one finger on Rashi and go back to the Gemara. The Gemara is now seven lines down from the top. Boile mai. What's the law? Rachuv adif? And I'm skipping a few words. Odilma manig adif. So let's go back. Rachuv is adif. His kinyan is superior to the manig. Dehatof is bay. Because he has control over the animal. His legs are wrapped around the animal. And that's called a tfisa. So he has two elements over here. Number one, he demonstrates that he's acquiring ownership over this animal by riding the animal, meaning sitting on its saddle. Number two, with his legs wrapped around the animal's body, he has a tfisa on the animal, meaning if anyone wants to take it away from him, he's going to have to grab him, grab the animal away from him, or perhaps knock off the rider. Oh, Dilma, should we say, no, manig adif, the azla machmaseh, that the manig has a superior level of kinyan because the animal is moving as a result of his action. Now let's just pick up the last Rashi, the last part of Rashi, Dibra Maschil Ella, Umiboyle Rabbi Yehuda, Hecha de Isnu L'Travayu. Both Reuven and Shimon are implementing each one a kinyan simultaneously. Hai Adif, which one is superior? Rachiv Adif, Da Tafis Bey. Maybe we can only postulate a meshicha as being kone when there's no one who's tofes the animal through rechiva. That if there's someone right now currently who's rachuv and therefore he has a tfisa on the animal, the animal is so to speak physically under his control, no one could grab it away from him, then that means that the meshicha is not a kinyan. Meshicha is only a kinyan when you don't have to pull the animal away from somebody. You could walk away with the animal, but meshicha means I cause the animal to move, but I don't walk away with the animal if someone's rachav on it. If no one's rachav on it, then I could walk away with the animal. O Dilma, or perhaps, manig adif dika azla machmasay, vehi hagidola bekinyan. So Rashi is already indicating that we give our gradations, we give our grades in kinyanin. Now what's the adifus of manhig? So you could say this in one of two ways. You could either say that since behema nikneis b'meshicha and a manhig is a meshicha, so certainly it's your classic form of meshicha with regard to an animal. Or you could say that there's something inherently more powerful. At the end of the day, when you want to demonstrate ownership over an animal, you want to get the animal to move. You want to get the animal to change its location. That demonstrates your control over the animal. And in this case, by causing the animal to move, even though you don't have the tfisa on the animal, but you cause the animal's movement, that is the greatest demonstration of ownership over the animal. So let's just go over the two stadim. The first side is to say that the rachiv is adif and he makes the kinyan because he has an additional element. Not only is his rechiva a demonstration of ownership, but he also has tfisa over the animal. Now the Gemara says, forget about tfisa, let's look at demonstration of ownership. And in Hilchas Hafganas Bailus, in order to demonstrate ownership, there's a certain element of superiority to manig. Manig supersedes the demonstration of bailus element over rachuv, because ultimately what you want to do with an animal is you want to cause it to move. Now it's very fascinating, and the Rishonim are all troubled by this. The Gemara in its first sad, Hechidomi, on the third line down from the Yom, it says, Ilema Rachuv Lechudei. And the Gemara rejects this because if one of the two alone would serve and function as a kinyan, it would certainly be which? Manig, and not Rachuv. So it means that at that point in the Gemara, Rachuv was not even a valid kinyan. And then all of a sudden the Gemara says, Ella Rachuv b'makom manhig, and the Gemara raises the possibility that Rachuv is a superior kinyan to manhig. The Gemara, in a sense, jumped a few steps. Initially, the Gemara had doubts whether Rachuv is a kinyan at all. And ultimately, the Gemara says that manhig is not only a kinyan, but perhaps it's even a superior kinyan. And it trumps the kinyan of manhig, that Rachuv is such a profound kinyan because it has an additional element of tafus, that it would trump the kinyan of manhig. So that's how the Gemara goes from like one extreme to the other. And there's the arichas dvarim in the Rishonim, like for example, you'll see it in Tosfos Divrei Maaseh Dilma and other Rishonim, Tema de Lifshol B'Masnisa, in other words, now that we're saying, based on the assumption that the Mishnah holds, if they're both Rochev, then we say Yachloku, that means Rechiva is a valid Kinyan, and then all of a sudden, it becomes Rechiva that's superior to Manik, when we originally had doubts whether Rochev is a Kinyan at all. Now here Tosis adds another element into the equation, and that is Tofis b'mosera. We said that the manig is hitting the animal on the back. Well, who's holding on to the reins? If the manig is hitting the animal on the back, and that's what causes the animal to move, then it means that the manig is not necessarily holding on to the reins, to the mosera. And therefore, could very be possible that the Rachuv is not just sitting on the saddle, but on top of that, he's holding on to the reins of the animal. So if you take a look for a minute at Tosfos Divrei Maaseh Rachuv, he says, Ein lefarish detofus biraglov obameshi yoshev oleha. He says, what would give the Rachuv a superior status above and beyond the manik? And initially Tosa says maybe you could suggest that the Rochuv has a tfisa because his legs are wrapped around the animal's body. First I'm up to Tosa's Rochuv. There are two Tosas in Rochuv, and I'm looking at the second Tosa's Rochuv. The Tosas is now vacillating back and forth. What makes the Rochuv into a tofus? He offers two possibilities, which he rejects, and then he comes up with a third possibility. His first possibility is Tofus Baraglov, that the fact that the one who's sitting on the saddle wraps his legs around the animal, that itself gives him a status of a Tofus. He offers a second possibility, that even if he's not grabbing the animal with his legs, you know, holding on to the animal with the pressure of his legs, but nevertheless he's a Yoshev Aleha, the fact that he sits on the animal, that itself makes him into a Tofus. And Tos rejects both A and B. He says, the high, low Mikri Tofus Ba. The fact that he has his legs wrapped around the animal, or alternatively, the fact that he's sitting on the animal, that doesn't make him into a Tofus. So now Tosfos offers a third possibility. What makes him into a Tofus? Ella, but rather, by Meshu Tofus b'mosera karui Tofus ba. In other words, he's sitting on the animal. That's the Maisa Kinyan called Rachuv. But his Tfisa, it manifests in the fact that he's holding on to the reins of the animal. And the balance of this Tosfos is to prove that the element of adifus in the case of Rachuv is the fact that he is holding on to the mosera.
You look like as if you have a mosera kinyan, but then you also have to demonstrate that there's a kinyan.
Could be
chazakah, right?
Right. Could be that the mosera kinyan is a formal mosera kinyan, and then there's another separate element which is called Havganas Bailus, to demonstrate that you're the owner.
Based in, you know, is only going to have a picture of the ladder, of the chazaka. Correct?
Well, again, chazaka becomes relevant if you have two people fighting over something. So who's muhsak? But what I want to get back to your original point, which is an excellent point, does the Gemara separate here between two elements? One element is the Maisa Kinyan as a formal act, and the second element is demonstration of ownership. I would like to suggest that the Gemara is equating the two. That there's no such thing as a formal Kinyan unless that Kinyan demonstrates ownership. The Gemara vacillates therefore back and forth about Rochuv. Is Rochuv a Kinyan? From a perspective of a formal Maisa Kinyan, maybe it was Pashut. There was never an issue in the Gemara's mind that Rochuv could be a Maisa Kinyan. But the Gemara felt that there's another condition. It's not simply enough to have a formal Maisa Kinyan. We have to add on the element of proving that you are the owner. And the Gemara feels that maybe Rochuv is not enough to prove ownership. Ownership in the case of an animal is indicated by Meshicha, which means that I caused the animal to move. And in the case of Rochuv, the Gemara doesn't think that the animal is moving. Later on, we're going to see the Gemara backtracks on this. The Gemara says that the very moment he sits on the saddle, he causes the animal to move. But we don't know that now. That's classified information.
But there's another way of looking at it, that when you're sitting on it and you have the reins, then that means that there is no possibility of a manhig, because the manhig is going to need the reins in front of the animal. You've got the reins, you're sitting on the animal, you have all of the cards.
Right. So let's understand now the following. The Gemara drops its original position and says for sure Rochuv is a Kinyan, meaning the fact that I'm sitting on the animal itself is indicating a bilus. Bilus is expressed itself in what we call peros. Peros means tashmishim. When a person uses the object for a purpose for which it's designated, in other words, the hanah that's, shall we say, shchicha, that's regila, that's usually expressed in that object, the object lends itself to a particular use or benefit or hanah, that itself is hafganas bailus. Why? Because if you were to use the animal, we have a principle called shoel shalomidas gazlan havi. You would be stealing it if you used it in the way that it's normally used. And the way you use these animals is by riding the animal. So if he jumps on the animal and he's riding the animal, that itself is a tashmish, is a use of the animal. Once he uses the animal in that way, then he's considered hafganas bailus, that he demonstrated ownership. So the ownership now is demonstrated by the fact that he's enjoying the animal, using it for the purpose for which it's designated. So now the Gemara says the following. There are two different ways in which you can establish a kinyan on an animal. One is by rechiva. Rechiva means I enjoy the benefit of riding the animal. And the other is through leading the animal, causing the animal to do what I want it to do. Like, for example, if you were to thresh or if you were to plow a field with an animal, you want the animal to carry the plow from place to place. If the animal is stationary in one place, you don't get your benefit. So the owner of the animal, if he wants to use the animal for whatever purpose, he's got to get the animal to move. If the animal is stationary in its place, he cannot benefit from it. But now we have an overlap of two kinyanim that took place simultaneously. You have the rochuv, in which he's enjoying the benefit of the animal through rechiva, and you have the manig, who's demonstrating that he has control of the animal, causing it to move from one place to another. So the Gemara now adds a new element into the equation, and that is tafus. The Gemara is now looking at kinyanim from the perspective of suffik. Normally we differentiate between kinyanim, which are vadai, and suffik if we don't know, for example, who made the kinyan. We have Reuven who claims he made the kinyan, Shimon has the same claim. So now we look at who's muchzak. For example, remember the Gemara that we started with when we introduced this Masechta, the Gemara Daf Kuf. And the Gemara Daf Kuf says that if I don't know if the baby was born before the Maisa Kinyan or after the Maisa Kinyan, so who owns the vlad? So we said it all depends on who's muchzak. And the Gemara finally concludes, we say Yachloku, because it was Omedes Ba'agam, that the vlad was not found in any particular muchzak, because no one was muchzak on the animal. In the case of Shnayim Oksim V'Talis, we say that both of them have an achiza, and we repeated over and over again Rabbi Chanan's insight that both have an achiza on the entire talis, and therefore the talis is muchzak bidei Shnayim, and therefore we're going to have to say achloku.
But achiza is not kinyan.
Right, that's only in the case of a suffix. In the case of a suffix, we don't know who made the kinyan first. Did Reuven pick up the talus first? Did Shimon pick up the talus first? If we don't know who picked up the talus first, then we're going to paskin and we're going to machria with Hilchas Fekus. And in Hilchas Fekus, we have Halach of Chazaka.
Right, so that's why here, then why is there a whole question of Kenyan, since the base that cannot, if the base cannot establish Kenyan, all it has is who is Muksa.
So that's what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to express is that this Gemara here is a radical departure from everything that we've learned until this point. Until this point, we thought that Tfisa and Muksakus, or Ochazin in the language of the Mishnah, is only relevant in a case of Suffolk. We don't know who made the kinyan. The Gemara now is penetrating into the adifus of the kinyan itself, as Rashi points out. Rashi says, Eze kinyan adif. So we're talking about like different levels of kinyanim. You have one kinyan which is more profound than another kinyan, when two people each respectively made a kinyan. And now the Gemara is introducing the element of tafus, which means that he has muchzokas on the animal. So that's what I think Tosis is trying to reject over here. Aim lefaresh, the toughest biraglov, Tosis says. That the fact that he has his legs wrapped around the animal, that gives him muhzakus over the animal. Again, this is just my own take on this Tosis. Because Tosis is bothered by the following. You cannot tell me that if there are two kinyanim that were made simultaneously, and each one has the capacity in and of himself to acquire ownership of the animal, that we're going to give ownership to one over the other because his kinyan adds an element of muhzakus. Muhzakus doesn't tell me a thing. I want to know which kinyan is going over here. And I'm going to dike this in Lashon Rashi. Rashi says, Dibra Maschil Ela Rochuv, which is, let's say, about 15 lines down from the top of the page, if you find a Rashi that starts with the words Ela Rochuv, Rashi says, etc., etc. And then Rashi adds the following sentence. He says, notice what Rashi does. He pulls a rabbit out of his hat. He's suggesting now that there is a limitation or a proviso in kinyanim. We always assume that Mashiach is always kona. And now Rashi is suggesting that there's a scenario in which Mashiach, with all due respect to Mashiach, is not kona. And when is that? Hecha de'ika rochuv. When do we say that there's no? That when do we say that there's a Mashiach kona when there's leka rochuv? Right? But if there's a rochuv, then Mashiach is not kona. Do you understand?
Is that because we're assuming that he has the reins if he's a rochuv?
Well, that's what we're leading up to, Yosef. You're a step ahead of me. I'm just saying, why does Tosis at this point reject that he's Tofus Beraglov? So I'm suggesting, again, this is just Lefi Anias Daiti. You don't have to accept this. There's no Kofalev Harkigigas here. What I'm suggesting is that Tosis in his Havamina thinks that when the Gemara applies the word Tofus here, it is the universal understanding of the word Tofus, which means that the fact that I'm grabbing onto it means that no one can take it away from me if you have a suffix. But I think Tosus is rejecting this, and I think Rashi is rejecting this. Why? Because one way of learning this sugya is to say that both Reuven and Shimon, Reuven with his rechiva and Shimon with his meshicha, with his manig, they each have implemented a perfectly valid maisa kinyan. So what do you do in a case where two people have each implemented a maisa kinyan that's valid and they did it simultaneously? So you're left with a suffix. Again, all this is going to be rejected, so don't get too excited about this. I just want to explain the halavim. That maybe we don't know, should we award the animal to Reuven? Should we award it to Shimon? Should we say Yachloku? What should we do? So the answer is that if you have a moment on Mutal B'Sofik, we apply the principle of Muchzakus. Who is, right, when that was, we had in the case back on the Zion of Sofek Bechar, right? So we didn't know if the Israel gets rights to this Bechar or the Kohen gets rights to this Bechar. So we said it all depends who's Muchzak in the Bechar or the Gemara Daf Kuf, who's Muchzak in the Vlad, if the Vlad was born before the Kinyan or after the Kinyan, belongs to the Machne, belongs to the Kona. So in those cases, instead of flipping a coin, we say Amotzi Mechavel Avaraya, who's Muchzak? Or who's Tafus? For example, the Gemara and Daf Beis Amid Beis, you remember that we learned that the reason why we say Yachloku in the case of Talis is because each one has a tfisa on the talus. And the Gemara says, Travayu tafsi be, they're both tofes, and we have a principle called chazaka, that if a person is tofes something, we don't take it out of his hands, out of his tfisa, unless we have a clear-cut raya. So what happens? You have two people, both have a tfisa, so we say yachloku. So Tosus wants to suggest that maybe the Rochav has a tfisa, whereas the Manik does not have a tfisa. What makes the Rochav into Tofus? The Tosus suggests because it's Tofus Biraglov. So Tosus rejects this. He doesn't tell you why he rejects it. He has Rias from the Gemara, but logically, conceptually, why does he reject it? So we're suggesting that if both Kinyanim were equal, then Tfisa would be meaningless. Tfisa is no longer relevant. This whole sugya revolves not around halachas of Safek, in the sense of we don't know which one of these two is really the Bailim, who has the rights to this object. We're dealing with a much more abstract Safek. Which Kinyan is a Kinyan? As Rashi says, that the Gemara has a tzad to say that although Mashiach is Kona an animal, it's not Kona b'makom rachuv. Ki amrina Mashiach Kona hechadoleka rachuv. Avol b'makom rachuv lo, and we'll add the word Kani. It's not a Kinyan. So we're getting down to basics about the definition and the scope of the Kinyan. Under what circumstances is the Kinyan Mashiach valid? Under what circumstances is it not valid? And the Gemara has a tzad to say that if there's a rachuv, then it's not valid. So we're not dealing with tfisa as a machrias asfekis, meaning we cannot take it out of the hands of the tofus, but rather we're adding the element of tfisa to define the kinyan, to add a new dimension to the kinyan. That we have two dimensions to kinyan. One dimension to kinyan is the demonstration of bailus, and certainly rochuv is a demonstration of bailus, but from that perspective, mashicha or manig is no less than demonstration of bailus. So just like you want to ride the animal and benefit in that way, you want to lead the animal, and that demonstrates your ownership and control over the animal. So we now in Hilchas Hafgadas Bailus, we have two kinyanim, and we don't know if any of those two have some sort of element of superiority, any sort of addition or adifus, a benefit that would make it, as Rashi calls it, a kinyan gedola yoseh. And now the Gemara is adding this element of tafus. And Tosus wants to figure out, so what is this tafus? Is the fact that, you know, for somebody to pull the animal away from him, he's got to take his friend's legs off, because no, he's holding on to the animal with his legs. And Tosus claims that that would be meaningful in a case of suffering. When you're applying the principles of Sveikis, the rules of Motzi Mechayel Araya, you could say, well, I have to knock the guy off the horse in order to grab the horse on. Tosus says, no, that's not what the Gemara is talking about here. Although the word Tofus means he's grabbing onto the animal to some extent, but it has to be a Tofus which indicates his kinyan. It has to be a tofus that demonstrates bailus. It's not a tofus because, you know, you can't physically remove his possession and therefore motzi mechavel over rai. That would be appropriate for Hilchas Sfeikas. But now we're not talking about those kind of Sfeikas where we don't know the facts on the ground. You know, did Reuven get there first? Did Shimon get there first? Did Reuven grab it from Shimon or vice versa? Then we apply the tofus in the classic sense of Muxaku, so we say a motzi mechavel over rai.
Which is Shnai Moksa Metalis.
That's Shnai Moksa Metalis, or the case later on. Let's say, what's it called? Vlad. Right? And we can apply it also to the Kohen, where the Gemara says in the Kohen that it depends if the Kohen grabbed it, he didn't grab it. That's all Edinim and Achros Asfaikas. You know, when the Dayanim address the case and they want to know whether to leave it where it is or not, so we have a principle, leave it where it is. And that's called Tfisa. But now we're not talking about that. We know exactly what the case is, and we know exactly what the facts on the ground is. And basically, Reuven and Shimon both grabbed onto this hefker animal simultaneously. One did a rechiva, and one did a manit. So we're going to have to somehow upgrade the kinyan. And that's what Rashi points out over here, that according to one side of the Gemara, when we upgrade the kinyan of Rachuv, then the manig is not able to implement his kinyan. That's not a Mashicha. A Mashicha can only be if there's no one who is Rachuv. So what is going on over here? What makes Rachuv such a superior kinyan that the Mashicha could not be operative here? So Tosus' final maskana in the Dibra Maska Rachuv, the second one, on the fourth line, Ella, when you see the word Ella, Bameshu Tofus b'mosera. Tosus introduces the mosera. And basically what Tosus is saying here is that in demonstrating bialus, you have two different elements in the case of an animal. You have the element of what we call Hana or Tashmisho, and that is certainly fulfilled through Rachuv, but you also have another element of controlling the animal, making sure that the animal goes in the direction that you want it to go and it ends up in the location you want it to end up. Supposing you could have an overlap of two different elements that define the kinyan simultaneously, and that's the Gemara about Rachuv. Rachuv has another element that we weren't paying attention to, and that's called Tofus b'mosera, because ultimately, although Shimon may be hitting the animal at this particular moment, and you give a smack on the animal moves, but that's not going to control where the animal ultimately lands up. And that's totally in what's going to determine where the animal? Tofus b'mosera. Now, in the middle between these two Havamin and Askana, he has Yoshe.
We're sort of refining what's the definition of Mashiach.
Right, and we're saying that Mashiach might be meaningless in a case where someone else is Tofus b'mosera. You'll ask me, but wait a minute, I smacked the animal on the back, and the animal moved from one place to the other, so literally we fulfilled the requirements of Teyakir Yad V'Regel, which makes it a valid Kinya Mashiach. The answer is Nain. Because although you did that on a temporary basis, and on a very short-term basis, you got the animal to move from place A to place B, but ultimately, what determines the control of the animal in terms of its location? And the answer is, that's called Tfisa B'mosera. So the Gemara thinks, therefore, that Rachuv now becomes a superior kinyan, which is really fascinating when you think about it, because in the Havamim, the Gemara thought that Rachuv is not even a valid kinyan at all. And the Gemara goes from one extreme to the other, and the Rishonim are going to have to deal with this. We touched on it maybe in the past, but unfortunately I lost my notes. I'll find them hopefully by tomorrow. What the Rishonim delve into this. Now, in the middle of this vacillation of Tosfos, he has Bameshi Yoshev Olel. And Tosus thinks that maybe what makes Rachuv into a Tofus is the Yoshev Olel. Now I think what he means by Yoshev Olel is that not only is it going to be difficult to grab the horse away from the person who's got his legs wrapped around the horse, which Tosus again is rejecting, but he has a similar kind of idea that it's very difficult to get benefit from this animal. You know, it's very nice that you're a manig and you get the animal to move from point X to point Y, but ultimately you want to enjoy the benefit of the animal. There's someone who's sitting on the animal. If he's sitting on the animal, you're not going to be, you know, Tosa doesn't have in mind the scooters. You know, today you look at every block here in Israel, you know, with the motorcycles, and you'll see two people riding on a motorcycle at the same time. And in theory, you could have two people riding an animal at the same time. But Tosus is not envisioning that. He's envisioning a situation where one person is riding the animal. And therefore, if you want to get that person, if you want to take ownership and enjoy the benefit of riding on the animal, then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to knock him off. You're going to have to push him off the animal. There's going to be a physical fight over here. You know, you have to take martial arts. You know, who's going to beat up who? And all this is to understand Tfisa as Muchzokus, meaning who's grabbing onto the thing, like, you know, who's holding onto it? Who's got his arms wrapped around it, his legs?
But in this, it's not interesting.
And Tosus says that I reject both. Both of these possible explanations for what makes you into a Tofus are equally imprecise, meaning they're precise if you're talking about tfisa in the sense of Shnai Moksa Vitalis and all the examples that we gave, but it's irrelevant to the question of defining the parameters of Kinyanin. Because in defining, you know, you want to know whether Mashiach as Manig is meaningful here. When someone's a Rachuv, it has nothing to do with who's grabbing onto the animal and who has to be beaten up in order to get the animal out of his possession. But rather, we're talking about something in Hilchas Kinyanim that reflects the definition of the Kinyan itself. So at this point, Rabosa, we're about to enter into a new breakthrough in the Sugya. And that is that it's not only the manig who's causing the animal to move, but even the rochuv is causing the animal to move. We never, with the weight of his body, sitting on the animal, we never considered this as a possibility. We always spoke about future control over the animal when you're holding on to its reins, or we spoke about control in the sense that it's physically under my possession. Now the Gemara says, Omer Rav Yosef, Omer li Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda finally revealed to me what I didn't know. And that is a Mishnah in Kelayim that's going to tell me directly which of these two Kinyanim, the Rochuv or the Manig, is superior. And here the Gemara begins by postulating a tzushtel between the laws of Kelayim and the laws of Kinyanim. In Kelayim we have halacha that you're not allowed to do a charisha with shor v'chamor yachdov, and it's two different minim together. That's one of the various categories of kilayim. And you're chayav for causing these two animals to plow the field. And you're using both animals simultaneously. What happens if you didn't cause these two minim to plow, but rather you cause them to move. So that itself is called plowing. If let's say you're located in a field and you're tying together in one yoke, in one oul, a shor v'chamor yachdov, and now you cause them to move forward in the field. So this now touches on what we call sitting on the carriage. The Mishnah says in Masechta Kelayim Perek Ches, Hamanig Sofeg Esar Boim, that if you actually lead the carriage, right, you cause the animals to move the carriage, then you get Malkus. And this Chiddush has to do with what we call Grama Benezikin. Meaning, what happens if you do an action not directly, but indirectly, and you somehow cause the animal to move? And this has tremendous repercussions in the laws of Shabbos, especially with regard to what we call animations. In other words, you press a button, and electrically you cause something to do a malacha, whatever the malacha might be. It could be plowing. It could be an automobile. You cause the engine to be fired up, so you might have generated a fire. I mean, you can go on and on and on. You know, today you can even capture an animal with a machine. So what happens if you activate the machine? Is it considered that the machine did the action of tseda, or you did the action of tseda? All this depends upon kilayim.
Additional factor of Shabbos and Shabbos that you wouldn't have elsewhere.
Correct, but as a matter of fact, the Gemara it pins it all on Kelayim. If Kelayim is considered that you did the Harisha, that means Harisha through an animal is considered Harisha, and so too in Melecha Shabbos when they wanted to plant the Sabamonim in the Mishkan, so forth and so on, they would do the Harisha and prepare the ground with an animal. So who actually does the act of digging the hole in the ground? Mm-hmm. It's the animal. But nevertheless, you're chayef in that malacha. Why? Because you activated the animal. And again, as I said, that has tremendous repercussions throughout Hilchus Shabbos. When you activate a force, and that force does the malacha on your behalf. Good. So we now have a case of manhig. So you activated the animal, and there are two animals of two species, and the Torah says that you get malchus for that. Well, but now we have a machlokes between two tanoim. And I say that deliberately. When I say two tanoim, I'm not using the words Rabbi Meir and the Tanakhama or the Chachomim, because the Gemara is going to go back and forth who said what. So the Gemara now has a case of Yoshev Bikaron. Instead of leading the animals, what he does is he simply puts his weight, he sits down on this carriage. And one man the Omar, the way we have our text, the Gemara is going to switch this around, is Rabbi Meir, but we're going to switch that around, a book in a minute, is Sofek Es Arvot. Rabbi Meir says that what you do here by sitting on the carriage is that you cause the animal to move. And that's going to have tremendous repercussions in the case of Rochuv as a Kinyan, because the Gemara is going to say that when you sit down on the saddle, let's say you jump onto the saddle, I'll use that phrase, you cause the animal to move. And that changes our whole perspective about Rochuv U'Manig, because Rochuv U'Manig means that the Manig has a superior status because he's Azil Machmose, right? That was the way the Gemara defined the superior nature of money. Well, now I have news for you, at least according to Rabbi Meir in this gear, so even the Rochuv is Azil Machmose. To such an extent is the Rochuv Ochel Machmose when he sits down on the animal, that according to Rabbi Meir you get Malkus for causing the animals to move, because the animals are hitched onto this carriage. The Chachomim Potrim Esa Yoshev Bekaron. Chachomim say name. Now again, I don't think there's a mitzius. You know, we could Google and find out whether sitting on a carriage causes the animals to move or not. That's not the issue. There's definitely some movement, but the question is that halachically a significant movement? Well, in Hilchas Kelaim, the Chachomim, the way we have our Girsa now, they claim that causing the animal to move by sitting on the animal is not enough of a significant movement. Again, he's not denying that there is movement, but it's not significant. And therefore, in Kelaim, you're not chayav for such an action. Just by sitting on the karon, it's not enough to generate a chiyuv. So the Gemara wants to say the following. That if we have this Mishnah as we have it in our Girsa, then it's the Chachamim who say that. Just 1 second, Rabbi Meir, Yoshi go to Meir Poter, right? And the Chachamim say Ayoshi Bekoran Sofeges Arboim. Which means the Chachamim, according to this Girsa, recognize the significant movement of one who sits on the Karam. And that's why you get Malkus for Kelayim. So if you were to stop the Gemara at this point, mid-sentence, then you would come to the conclusion that Rochuv has an extra element. Not only is Rochuv considered Tafus, but he's also considered Azil Machmaseh. And therefore, certainly, his kinyan would win out. However, Shmuel made a statement. Apich Shmuel. Shmuel turns it inside out. V'toni his brisa, his mishnah has the following: Chachamim potrim es hayoshev bekaron, which means that according to the Chachamim, and we passing like the Chachamim against Rabbi Meir, the sitting on the animal is not a significant factor in causing the animal to move. You're potter in Kelayim, and therefore you don't have the Ozel Machmasei element in the case of Kinyanim, in the case of Rochuv, Shmamina Rochuv Lechudu, Lo Kani. Because again, what makes Manig a superior Kinyan and trumps Rochuv is the Ozel Machmasei. And according to Chachamim, if they potter you up in Kelayim, means there's no Ozel Machmasei, and therefore Kol Shkein, how much more so Rochuv V'Mokom Manig. That certainly Rochuv has the superior element of Kinyan over and above Manig, because Rochuv now has two elements. He's enjoying the animal and benefiting from it, and at the same time, he is also causing the animal to move, a significant movement, and that's called Ozil Machmose. Okay, Rabbosai, so that's where we're going to stop for today, and Mirz Hashem will finish this tomorrow, and hopefully I'll have my notes for you tomorrow as soon as I find it. And now we want to learn a little bit of Chulin, the Masechta Chulin, correct?